Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. I really hope you had a great weekend. And now we begin a new week. It is Monday, March 25th, 2019. And thank you so much for allowing WKAR's current sports to be a part of your Monday. A lot to get to on today's current sports. This will be a show that will, of course, be centered around the NC two-way tournament. And that's really what it's like around this time of the year here in East Lansing, especially when you have the Michigan State men's basketball team still dancing in the big dance. Over the weekend, Michigan State was able to get a win over Minnesota, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, led by Coach Richard Pitino, son of Rick Pitino, formerly of the Louisville Cardinals, right? And Michigan State getting that opening round win over Bradley put them in position to play Minnesota on Saturday. Michigan State really coasted in this game. There was one moment where it was cut to single digits, and then something happened, and I'll explain what happened in that moment. But Michigan State beats Minnesota by 20 points. And this is the first time, this was the first time that we saw two Big Ten teams play in the NCAA tournament since like the early 2000s. You know, I really think the committee messed up there. But hey, I thought that when Minnesota did beat Louisville to move on for this matchup against Michigan State, I looked at this as certainly a favorable matchup for the Spartans. No matter how you feel about Michigan State having to play yet another Big Ten game, I mean, you look at that first meeting between Michigan State and Minnesota, even though this was a much different Minnesota team, the cards were certainly in the Spartans' favor. So, with that being said, Michigan State gets the win and now moves on to the sweetness of 16 for the first time since 2015. So we'll talk about this accomplishment and what it feels like to finally get out of the first weekend, right? And now Michigan State, you know, this matchup, a very intriguing matchup against the LSU Tigers, which will take place, of course, on Friday night. A game time has now been set for that matchup, and that will be a 7:09 p.m. Friday tip time on CBS, all right? So we'll talk briefly about that matchup, but we'll focus on what took place over the weekend. We'll also talk about the possible matchup if Michigan State handles business against LSU on Friday night. Michigan State will likely play the Duke Blue Devils, but you never know in the tournament, right? I mean, heck, yesterday Duke barely squeaked out a win over UCF. I'll have thoughts on that as well. All right, so a lot of tourney talk in today's current sports. We'll also talk about the Michigan Wolverines making it to the sweetness of 16 as well. How special is that, right? You know, I've been talking about this throughout the entire college year, but it truly is so special to have two programs led by Tom Izzo and John Beilein, both programs in the state of Michigan, the two biggest college basketball programs here in the state of Michigan, making it to the Sweet 16. This is very, very special stuff. And soak it up, folks, because who knows how long we'll get a chance to enjoy this for in the future. So Michigan moves on. We'll hit on that as well.
I will also welcome live here in Studio West, Anthony Iani, motivational speaker and former MSU men's basketball center. We will get his thoughts on what Michigan State was able to do in rounds one and two. And Anthony has really been chomping at the bit to get off his chest here on our airwaves. All of the controversy that's centered on Thursday evening, Izzo getting at Aaron Henry, a story that was totally blown out of proportion, right? Ant wants to weigh in on that, and he'll give us some insight on what it's like being coached by Tom Izzo. And speaking of Tom Izzo, we will have a bit of his press conference from this afternoon at the Breslin Center. You'll get a chance to hear what Tom Izzo had to say today after having some time now to digest what his Spartans were able to do in rounds one and two of the NC2A tournament. All right, Tom and his team flew in one Sunday, so we got a chance to relax a little bit at home, watch some film. You know, I think he mentioned going to church as well on Saturdays, during Saturday's post-game informal media scrum. Mentioned getting back, you know, sleeping in a bit, going to church, and just relaxing and watching some film. So you'll get a chance to hear what Tom Izzo had to say after having some time to digest everything. And then we'll close out the hour with weekend winners. So if you would like to be a part of the show, again, multiple ways in which you can do so, pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com, and you can comment on the live stream there. And Facebook.com/WKAR News, comment on the live stream there. And you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Again, Michigan State men's basketball defeating Minnesota 70-50, the final on Saturday, to advance to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2015. With the win, Michigan State now becomes the winningest Big Ten team in March Madness with 67 wins all time. And as I mentioned, the Spartans will now take on 3-seed LSU in Washington, D.C. at Capital One Arena, 7:09 p.m. on Friday night. Can't forget about the Michigan State women's basketball team, that if they win tonight, this is a story that has the potential to send shockwaves throughout the basketball world, because they will be taking on the defending national champions in Notre Dame tonight at 7 p.m. in South Bend, Indiana, in the second round of the NCAA women's basketball tournament. Michigan State got just barely squeaked out a close victory over Central Michigan in round one. Shout out to Shea Colley, who was really the hero in that game, driving to the hole, you know, was able to get an unorthodox layup to go down, propelling Michigan State to a 1-point dub over the Chips. So Michigan State and the Fighting Irish tonight at 7 p.m. Again, this is a home game for Notre Dame. I mean, Michigan State certainly has all of the odds against it right now. We'll see if a miracle happens. But don't forget about that game tonight. You can catch that one on ESPN, all right? Okay, the Michigan women's basketball team and its season came to an end in the second round of the women's NCAA tournament for the second straight season. The Wolverines, an 8 seed, fell behind early yesterday, could not recover, falling to number 1 seed Louisville, 71-50, the final out in Kentucky. Big props to the Pauwamo Westphalia girls basketball team, as PW defeated Flint Hamady 40-33 to capture the Division III state championship last Friday. And the girls' state crown comes just 1 week after the Pomona Westphalia Pirates boys basketball team won a state championship with a last-second win over Iron Mountain. So that's remarkable, right? Your boys win the Division III state championship, and now the girls have done the same. Oh, it's got to be good to be a Pirate right now, right? This is what Ellie Drost, who had a game-high 18 points, this is what she told the Lansing State Journal after that win. Quote, "There aren't words to describe it, but I'm just so happy. I'm so proud of my teammates. I just want to thank all the teams that came before us. We did it for them. They came up a bit short. We won it for them. It's so special. We're so happy that we get to bring the state championship home. Congratulations to the PW girls basketball team. Quite the feat there." All right, to the NBA we go. The Golden State Warriors shot 61% and were 13 for 25 from three-point range in a 121-114 victory, sending the Detroit Pistons to their fifth loss in eight games. This road trip not treating the red, white, and royal blue kind, as the Pistons now sit 37-36, now in seventh place of the NBA's Eastern Conference playoff race, as the Brooklyn
playoffs?
Nets. Yeah, we're talking playoffs.
Talking about playoffs?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
They're hanging
playoffs?
On. They're hanging on, though. That's the thing. The Pistons are hanging on here as we really get down to the nitty-gritty in the NBA regular season year. This is what really separates the men from the boys, right? The Brooklyn Nets move a half game in front of the Pistons for that sixth spot. The Miami Heat lurking one game behind the Pistons in eighth. So Blake Griffin led the Pistons, as he usually does, 24 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. He was also involved with physical loose ball skirmishes with former Michigan State standout Draymond Green, one resulting in a jump ball and the other in a Green personal foul. But just too little too late for the Pistons. And also want to note that Zaza Pachulia, now with the Detroit Pistons, formerly of the Golden State Warriors, a really cool moment yesterday as Zaza officially got his Golden State NBA championship ring as Klay Thompson came out, rocked the mic. And, you know, Klay Thompson and Zaza are really close. And Klay Thompson came out and gave him his ring. And there was a standing ovation from the Golden State crowd out there on the West Coast. A very cool moment for Zaza. He was a beloved teammate of the Warriors. Okay, the Winged Wheel. The Detroit Red Wings take on the San Jose Sharks tonight at 10:30 p.m. in San Jose. The Detroit Tigers pelted the Toronto Blue Jays 18-6 in front of a crowd of almost 8,000 fans at Publix Field at Joker Marchant Stadium in their final Grapefruit League game of spring training. It was the largest output of runs for the Tigers this spring. They scored 14 against the New York Mets on February 26th. That was their previous high. Before the game, the Tigers announced that Jordan Zimmermann would be the opening day starter for the second consecutive year, but they halted on announcing their final roster until today after the Tigers' futures game at Joker Marchant. All right, this is what Ron Gardenhire had to say. Quote, "We are going to set the final roster after the game tomorrow," meaning today. "I can't give," well, tomorrow I think is when the Tigers play next. So, yeah, in fact, tomorrow. Quote, "I can't give a definitive answer yet. Outside the world of the Detroit Tigers, there are people out there. I'm going to wait, and I get and I get phone calls from people all night. So I have to wait a bit on that news there." And this news broke yesterday, quite to the surprise of many, including myself. New England Patriots star tight end, the great Rob Gronkowski, better known as Gronk, announced his retirement on Sunday afternoon. The New England Patriots tight end announced on Instagram Sunday that he is retiring from the NFL after 9 seasons. He finished his career with 521 receptions, 7,861 receiving yards, 79 touchdowns, including 81 receptions, and a tight end record of 1,163 receiving yards, 12 scores in 16 postseason games. Quite the career for Rob Gronkowski. Although I will say this, I would not be surprised if Gronk pulled the Jason Witten and decided, you know, one more year. Why not? One more year. Just give me one more year. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think Gronk is quite done. But if he is, congratulations to him. Pretty remarkable stuff. I saw Tom Brady hit his Instagram along with many players in the NFL. But Tom Brady notable because they, you know, those two were like yin and yang on the gridiron. And Tom certainly needed Gronk, of course, to win those rings and vice versa. And Tom Brady had had a really nice post honoring Rob Gronkowski. All right, that does it for your quick hit headliners. If you would like to join the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'd love to hear from you. Don't be shy. Also, you can go to facebook.com/WKAR News and you can comment below the video live stream. And you can also weigh in courtesy of Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR.
Season opening in a running two.
Uh-huh.
A two in a row by Cassius Winston. Oturu spins on Tillman. Winston has the steal. Winston now gets it out to Henry. Now to Winston. It's a three. Good! He's an assassin! For Winston. He's got 13. He's 5 of 11. Works on McGrayer. Drops one into Kithier, who gets the deuce. His dad coached at Iowa State. Not a far drive from here in Des Moines. Bingham, three, got it. That's Marcus Bingham. Michigan State is going to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2015 with hopes high and a resounding win over their conference foe.
How sweet it is to be in the sweetness of 16. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, welcome. Michigan State fans, you got to be feeling good. Michigan fans, you got to be feeling good. Seeing as though both of your teams are in the final Sweet 16 of the college basketball tournament, also known as the Big Dance, the NC2A tournament. It's been fun to watch. It's been really fun to watch, you know, watching, you know, the respective games throughout the tournament thus far. You know, we haven't really seen a lot of like buzzer beaters that we're normally used to seeing in the past. Right. Haven't seen many tremendous upsets this year for the most part. It's worked out as predicted, at least in relation to the seeding, you know. But it's been a really fun tournament to watch, you know. Michigan State, and I noted this, as soon as we saw that Michigan State was going to be playing Minnesota after Michigan State advanced over Bradley and Minnesota beat Louisville. You know, there were a lot of people that said, oh, my goodness, another Big Ten game for Michigan State. My gosh. But when I looked at it and said, you know, I would rather, you know, if you're a Spartan fan, you have to say to yourself, I would rather play Minnesota, knowing what you did to them last time. You're quite familiar with that team than play Louisville. I thought it was the better matchup for Michigan State. And that turned out so. I don't want to downplay the fact, though, that Coach Pitino did not have senior forward Jordan Murphy, and that definitely hurt the Golden Gophers. It was like once you heard that news, oh, if the pendulum wasn't already in favor of the Spartans, it certainly swung it in favor of Michigan State after that news came out, right? And he tried to go, but that back just really bothered him. And then there was a cool moment near the end of that game where Coach Pitino put Jordan Murphy in to acknowledge what he has meant to that program throughout his years rocking the Minnesota jersey. And fans stood up and started chanting his name. And then you saw the standing ovation from Michigan State as well. Tom Izzo had some words for Jordan after the game, and Tom kind of gave us some, you know, a peek behind the curtain into what he said to Jordan afterwards and said, look, man, you know, wishing you the best and thank you for everything that you've meant to the Big Ten, because he's just, Tom Izzo really admired just how tough he is and how hard he played and how Jordan did it, quote, without talking crap. He let his game do the talking. So that was a really cool moment. But Michigan State, you know, really asserted themselves throughout this game. There was one moment that I do want to acknowledge, though, because it's the tournament and anything could happen. That's what makes the Big Dance so fun. And there was a moment where Michigan State, you know, looked a bit, you know, out of it. Out of it, I mean, in terms of gameplay. Michigan State was not executing properly, turning the ball over left and right, which honestly they did throughout much of that game. But Minnesota began to finally get its offense rolling a bit, and the lead was cut to 9 points. You know, from 17 points to 9, you know, it happened at, you know, with about 5 minutes into the second half. You know, you could hear from your televisions the Minnesota crowd really making its presence known as well. And then something happened. And that something is Cassius Winston. How good is this dude? How good is Cassius Winston? I don't know if I can say any more than what I've said already about Cassius this year. You guys know, I mean, you know, multiple times throughout this year, I just praise how smart he is, the kind of leader he is out there on the basketball court, how he understands the moment. He has certainly elevated his game. I don't know what I can say that hasn't already been said about Cassius Winston. But during that moment afterwards, we also got a peek behind the curtain into what was said during, you know, one timeout in the huddle. And Tom Izzo, like he does, Tom Izzo challenged Cassius Winston and said, look, man, I know you're tired. I know you're tired, but we need you right now. You know, it's a 9-point lead. Minnesota is trying to rally here. We need to close this thing out. And Winston said afterwards, quote, I felt the momentum going in their favor. I felt them making play after play. Winston goes on to say, quote, I told the guys we're going to be all right. And then you know what? Cassius Winston put his play where his mouth is and showed up and showed out. You know, he was just so calm and collected. Hits a big step back jumper, as you just heard in the introduction. Step back jumper, shot clock dwindling down to zero. He had not one, not two, but three Minnesota Golden Gophers surrounding him, a hand in his face, nails it.
then a steal, and then a foul drawn that put him on the ground. And then right after that, a two-handed runner that hits the nylon. And then another deflection on a pass. He gets the ball from, back from Aaron Henry, and then pulls up for a three-pointer and just unleashes a lion-like yell. I mean, the kids, big time. Cassius Winston is big time. And what he's doing right now is, it's special. This is the best point guard play that I have seen here in East Lansing since my team Cleaves. And I heard something crazy today that Cassius Winston is 4 assists away from having the most assists from I'm talking on any Big Ten player in the history of this conference. 4 assists away from setting the Big Ten all-time assist record in one season. Mind-blowing stuff. Mind-blowing stuff. I can't say anything more that hasn't already been said about Cassius Winston. And Kenny Goins, he was quoted in saying, quote, it's crazy how normal that is to me. That's Cassius Winston. Because, when you're watching something great sometimes, especially throughout the course, in sports, throughout the course of a season, sometimes you can take it for granted. You just kind of expect it, right? We've seen this so many times from Cassius that you just say, yep, that's what he does. Well, without taking the moment to just kind of take a step back and say, this isn't normal. This isn't something that you normally see in the world of sports. It's amazing. And Izzo noted, because if you watch Cassius, and I've said this multiple times throughout covering the team this season, if you watch Cassius, the guy is tired. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. I mean, he's walking around. He's kind of bent over. He looks like an 85-year-old man. He really does, because he's tired. His body is physically drained right now. Izzo said that he's going to give Cassius a lot of rest this week. I wouldn't be surprised if Izzo doesn't even have him go through practices. I mean, if he just sits on the bench and just kind of just walks through everything, because Cassius at this point, he knows what he needs to do. You don't need him need him out there for different drills and whatnot. You just basically need Cassius's mind to be in tune with what you're doing, but you don't need his body right now. His body needs to be saved for this weekend when Michigan State has a possible chance of going to the Elite Eight and then the Final Four. So it's quite special what we're watching from him. But Izzo said that in order to motivate Cassius, because he could tell that Cassius was getting tired in that game, and then when it was cut to 9, he said that, Cassius, quote, sleep is overrated. You can rest. If we lose this game, you got all the time in the world to rest. But even if we win this game, you got until next weekend to get all the rest in the world. So you're going to get rest after this game regardless. I need you to take over right now. Can you now be a leader? Can you suck it up? And that's what Cassius did, and that's what he has done throughout this entire year. 13 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. The Spartans at 30-6 now advance to take on 3-seed LSU on Friday in Washington, D.C. I mean, can you imagine if Michigan State, instead of LSU, play like Maryland? And again, that's what I was really worried about. If Michigan State did play, first off, another Big Ten game, but it would have basically been a home game for the Maryland Terrapins if they had won instead of LSU and moved on. So that's not the case. They will take on 3-seed LSU, which LSU is a really dangerous team. And I'll dive more into that game preview when we welcome Anthony Iani to the show in just a moment. But, survive in advance. That is the name of the game around this time of the year. And this team is being willed by its point guard. Not to...
not to downplay, you know, what the rest of the cast has done, but what Cassius is doing right now is just, it's just special. It really is, folks. And I wanted to acknowledge just how special it is, because I think sometimes we get, you know, Spartan fans get a bit spoiled from what you're watching, because it is so, yeah, that's what he does. You know, we can get caught up so much in that, right? When it comes to other support for Cassius Winston, you got to give a big shout out to Xavier Tillman. He's played awesome, especially in absence of Nick Ward. In looking at Nick Ward, you have to really pace his minutes right now because of the injury to his hand, and they have slowly been implementing him into the game. You know, he's still getting his wind up a bit, and Nick Ward, you know, isn't starting yet. But, you know, with that being said, Xavier Tillman, the X-Man, has come in and done a fabulous job. He was 6 of 8 from the floor, 14 points for him. He actually led the team in scoring. Then you had Cassius with 13. Then you got 9 points from the other 3 starters. Kenny Goins, 3 of 5, 9 points. Aaron Henry, I really love the confidence that Aaron Henry is showing right now as a freshman. 4 of 5 from the floor on Saturday for 9 points for him. And then you have Matt McQuaid, Cueto, 4 of 6 for 9 points for him. And then you also had Nick Ward coming off the bench. 9 was the magic number, I guess, right, for Michigan State scoring-wise when it comes to at least 4 players. Nick Ward also had 9 points. He was 4 of 8, 50% from the field for 9 points. But, you know, this was a relatively easy victory for the Spartans. But if there is any area that needs to improve, if Michigan State wants to move on in the tournament, you got to clean up the turnovers. We all know that. Izzo was not happy about that. Michigan State had 22 turnovers on Saturday. If Michigan State was playing anybody other than Minnesota, this may have been a huge problem. That Minnesota offense, though, was just so bad. That Minnesota offense was just, give it to Amir Coffey, and if he can't lead us to the promised land and put the ball in the bucket, then I don't know what we're going to do. That's, I mean, Amir Coffey, 8 of 24, 27 points, the second leading scorer on the team, came off the bench, and that was Isaiah Washington, who had 9 points. 27 points for Amir Coffey, and then the second leading scorer wasn't even in double-digit scoring. 9 points. That's how bad the Minnesota offense is right now. Amir Coffey played his tail off in that game. So, again, 22 turnovers for Michigan State. If you play just an average offense in the Big Dance, that could have been a major problem. So you better believe that Michigan State will be working on that throughout this week. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before I hit the first break, go behind the glass real quick. We've got Connor Mathis in. He is the engineer of the Monday, Wednesday, and occasionally Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Connor, first off, your voice is coming back, because yep. I know your voice is pretty shot after the Big Ten tournament, right? After yep. watching that win over Michigan that gave Michigan State the Big Ten tournament win. So I'm glad your voice is coming back.
It only took a week.
That's essential in radio, right?
Yeah.
To have your voice. That's how we get paid, right? but just your thoughts on Minnesota and Michigan State, and what you think about Michigan State's upcoming matchup against LSU this Friday night.
I think they just need to cut down the turnovers. That's the only thing that has me real worried. Like you were talking about, the sequence where Cassius just went off, took over the game completely, and I think that just broke Minnesota because they couldn't do anything else. I mean, Amir Coffey just did everything for that team, and it wasn't enough. He needed some kind of help and just was not getting it. But Cash is stepping up big there. Another kind of unsung, kind of flew under the radar a little bit this tournament's been Zave's been balling. He's been going crazy. And I've had some friends ask me, you know, who's better? Is it Xavier Tillman or is it Nick Ward?
And
people are asking that.
We're going too far there, man.
I'm not saying this. It's other people.
Okay, it's other people.
No, I'm not saying that yet.
I think they're getting too enthralled in the whole.
No, but you haven't seen Nick Ward obviously full time for a while. So
right.
But no, Xavier Tillman's been very impressive. I've liked how he stepped up a lot.
His engine is crazy. That's the thing about Xavier Tillman. His engine, oh my goodness, it's just his energy on the boards and his defense. And I just love the emotion and the nonstop energy that he gives you on both ends of the floor. It's pretty impressive.
I also like how him and the team, the free throw shooting.
Right. We used to
sit on the edge of the seat every free throw. Now it's just. They're just going down. They've really found themselves there.
Right.
Which is nice seeing that in the Big Ten tournament and going into now.
Definitely.
A little less stressful.
If you can hit free throws, that certainly bodes well around this time of the year, especially because as the games go on, the matchups get tighter and tighter in that second half. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will welcome live here in Studio West our dear friend Anthony Iani, renowned motivational speaker and former Michigan State men's basketball center. We'll get his thoughts on Michigan State moving on now in the sweetness of 16. And also, Ant wants to get off his chest all of the chatter that ensued after Michigan State beat Bradley in the first round, the whole Izzo and Aaron Henry situation. That and more. We'll be right back.
Williamson driving that on Taco, and that's going to make the fall as the basket goes. A free throw to tie it. 5 out of 6 at the line. Missed it. Comes up short too. Barrett follows it up for the lead. Here we go. Inbound out to Taylor. Jones is on him. Taylor driving in, banks it up. No, put back.
Oh my goodness, what a game. That was the best game of the tournament thus far, in my opinion. I think many of you would agree. That one went down to the wire. And in the end, the Duke Blue Devils find a way to squeak out a 77-76 victory over 9-seed UCF. Again, survive in advance. That's the name of the game around this time of the year, and that's exactly what Duke did. They certainly just survived. And now Duke moves on to play Virginia Tech, 4-seed in the East region. That will be a Friday game as well. So, yeah, we are lined up right now. If both Duke and Michigan State handle business on Friday, they will meet in the Elite Eight for a chance for a spot in the Final Four. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And right now, I want to invite our guest for this Monday edition of Current Sports. You guys know him well. He's been on the show multiple times, including last week. Anthony Iani, motivational speaker, renowned motivational speaker, and former Michigan State men's basketball center. Ant, what's up, man? How you doing?
Happy Monday, Al. Good to be here.
Always good to see you, dude. And first off, your reaction to what you just heard, and I don't know where you were watching that game, but what were your thoughts when Duke barely were able to squeak out that win yesterday?
I was at my mother-in-law's house. She made dinner for, you know, the family, and we were all just sitting there just hoping Duke would get beat because, you know, my wife's cousins and aunt and uncle are Duke folks. You know,
okay.
Her aunt and uncle went to Duke, played football and volleyball at Duke. So we were just like, yo, for once, just for once, yo, let the state of Michigan folks have some fun for once. But I was amazed, though, with Dawkins' performance.
Aubrey Dawkins.
He went
former
off.
Wolverine.
Yeah, I saw that, too. And mm-hmm. Because I thought he was initially at Duke, but then right. I got confused with his dad and everything. But
right.
I was just so impressed with what they were able to do yesterday. And Taco Fall, that's... I know he's a senior. That's my favorite player now.
Dude, I mean, you know, I'm always in awe whenever I see you, Ant, because you're tall. But he's a monster. He's like one of the 20th tallest people.
Oh
people, period,
goodness.
In the world. One of the 20th tallest people. I mean, he's like, what they say, Connor, 7'8", I think he is?
He is 7'6", but okay. I would not be surprised if he puts on certain kinds of shoes if he hits 7'7", 7'8".
Seriously.
I'm telling you, man. Right. I mean, it's amazing watching him just out there on the basketball floor. But and you and I were kind of going back and forth yesterday because I do believe that if Duke and Michigan State get matched up for a chance at the Final Four,
mm-hmm.
that game is going to be competitive. Duke has shown throughout this year that they got some chink in the armor. They can be beaten. The thing is, and we were kind of going back and forth about the formula to beat them. UCF, this is the thing. They play zone defense,
right.
and that definitely bothered the Blue Devils offensively. And it helps when you can play zone defense and you have a mammoth of a man as Taco Fall in the center down low. And, you know, that's something that Michigan State doesn't have, and Tom Izzo would never play zone. But Duke has shown, though, that, you know, they're not the Zion of a team that we thought they were, pun intended there. So, I don't know. That's going to be a fun matchup to watch, though.
Yeah, it should be.
If it happens.
If it happens. And like you say, you know, first things first, you know, we got LSU first. Mm-hmm. You know, first things first.
Right, exactly. So, and first off, thoughts on the drought, quote-unquote drought. You know, a lot is being made of this is the first time that Michigan State has been out of the first weekend and going to the Sweet 16 now, first time since 2015. What do you make of that talk, and how do you equate what Michigan State has been able to do this year in relation to this three-year hiatus?
Well, I think for one thing, it's definitely relief. You know, from a program perspective and a fan base perspective, because, you know, you look at 2016, we had the team that should have went to the Final Four, and then you lose to Middle Tennessee State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then the next year you had a bunch of freshmen, you know, which was meant to be expected. And then you go in last year as one of the top five teams in the country, and you get beat literally on your home floor, you know, to a Syracuse team that beat you with zone. And so everybody was frustrated, you know, and then the Bradley game was so tight, everybody had the thoughts of, is this really going to happen again? Like, are we really going to get out of the first weekend? But then once we got past that game, I knew right away that, you know what, the way this team is, like, once they get over that hump, which they did, the Spartan Dogs are back now.
Right.
Now, chains off, let them go, because now anything goes. And
right.
I think once they got over that hump, now it's a sigh of relief of, okay, we're here, we're through the first weekend. Now we got business to attend to, so let's go win the next weekend and get to Minneapolis.
You know, last year especially, and a lot was made of that year's Spartan team because, I mean, it was an embarrassment of riches, really, talent-wise for Michigan State.
I mean,
two of the players that were on last year's roster became NBA draft lottery picks, and also Miles Bridges had a career high yesterday for the Charlotte Hornets, 20 points for him yesterday. He's really starting to find his footing in the National Basketball Association. Awesome stuff from him. So wanted to shout out Miles there. But, you know, a lot was made of that team because you had two NBA draft lottery picks, arguably the most talented team that Izzo has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, when you look at what this year's team has done and you look at just how well they play together, would you argue that this year's team is better than last year's team?
From a talent perspective, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because of how tight-knit they are and the chemistry and the camaraderie they have, I think it's a little bit better and definitely beyond than what last year's team had. I'm not saying last year's team didn't have that camaraderie. I mean, they were close. But, like, I've always told people, and I told everybody from day one when the season started, that this was going to be one of Coach Izzo's best teams because his better teams are without all-stars. I mean, you look at my senior year, like, we didn't have all-stars. Granted, Draymond was the man. He was a heck of a player. But was he a draft lottery pick? No. Was he a top 30 first-round pick? Yeah, he should have been, and look what happened. But, mm-hmm. you know, the point is,
if there's no all-stars on an Izzo team, you're going to be successful because that's why everybody knows their role now. Now everybody knows their role of who's the doing on the scout team, who's doing this, who's doing that, who's your captains, who's your leaders. And once you follow the leaders and follow your captains, you can go as far as you want to go, like whether it's in a season or a tournament, because these guys know what weaknesses we have and they know how far we have gone in the tournament in the past. And they use that as motivation. And nobody expected them to get to where they're at, especially without Joshua Langford. And that's the whole Mark D'Antonio chip on the shoulder deal. And I think they kind of took a page out of the football program's book of, okay, people are doubting us. Let's go prove them wrong.
So, Ant, is it a hindrance when you have the kind of talent that, I don't want to say it like that because it's never a hindrance when you have talent like Miles right. Bridges and Jaren Jackson, right? But when it comes to the overall flow of the team, do you feel like Michigan State catered too much to Jaren Jackson and Miles Bridges last year then?
I think so because, I mean, you see it with Cash. I mean, Cash last year didn't get the opportunities that he has now as far as, like, driving a ball and shooting the ball. And the same thing with Josh, you know, early on in the season. I mean, Josh was a great shooter last year, but he didn't have those driving opportunities and those shooting opportunities as much as Miles or Jaren had last year. So I think we leaned on those guys a little too much, whereas now – we lean on everybody. You lean on Matt McQuaid, Xavier Tillman, Cash, Kyle Arns when he was healthy. Like, everybody leaned on each other, and they trusted one another. I'm not saying last year's team didn't trust anybody, but everybody trusts one another because they know that that person could get the job done.
Early thoughts, and again, this is very early. We got until Friday to preview this game here on Current Sports, but, you know, since you're only in this week, and I want to get your early thoughts on the LSU matchup. And possible Duke matchup if they get past LSU and if Duke handles business in that first game on Friday as well, right?
Right.
Because anything can happen. It's the tournament.
Yeah, and March Madness, we know that. But at LSU, Al, from what I saw, they're very athletic, and they crash the offensive glass hard. And I think as long as you limit them on the offensive glass, I mean, you're going to be fine. They're not exactly a great shooting team either. They got guys who are capable of being good shooters and knocking down shots. But if you just play defense and keep them off the offensive glass and you do your thing offensively, we're going to be just fine. And like I said, I know they're athletic, but like Coach Joseph said today, you keep them out the glass, we're going to be fine.
And
if we end up playing Duke, now I told you this yesterday, and I told my family members who thought I was crazy for saying this, but I think if we play Duke, I think we'll beat them. I really think we will. Because Duke, I mean, the one thing that UCF did so good yesterday was they were physical. They were physical with Zion. They were physical with Barry. They were physical with all. They don't like that. They don't like the roughhouse stuff, man. No, they don't want a part of that. That's why Syracuse beat them earlier in the year. That's why North Carolina beat them twice. Now, granted, I know it was without Zion. I get that. But Carolina is a physical, tough team. Duke didn't like that. So if you're physical with them and you take away the baseline drives, the middle drives, and you keep them off the offensive glass, you're going to beat them. And UCF showed that yesterday.
Right.
They showed that. And I really, truly believe in my heart that this is the year that Coach Iz takes down Coach K. I really, truly believe that.
Wouldn't that be something, right?
I mean, this place would go nuts.
this season would need a book for sure.
Oh,
because
definitely.
You know, I go back to, you know, beating Michigan, thrice, right?
Yeah,
three times, yeah. and you do it on St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, which is like St. Patty's Day Central, right? And you play your rival, and you win the Big Ten Tournament Championship.
Right.
You win the Big Ten Regular Season Championship by beating your rival. And then, if Izzo gets the monkey off his back, that is a 1-11 record against Coach K and Duke, doing it with arguably Coach K's most talented team ever.
Right.
If Izzo was to accomplish that, oh, my goodness. That would feel like a national championship win
in itself, wouldn't it? It would be, man.
Oh, my goodness. And it's the thing, though, when you say you got to get physical, because I totally agree with you on that. And the question I always have, though, and we've seen this throughout the year when it comes to college hoops, the officials are so inconsistent.
They are.
You just don't know.
They are.
Depending on the bunch you get, if they're going to allow you to be a bit physical or not. Because yesterday, the refs did allow some pushing and some grabbing a little bit. But then on some plays, you saw they were quick on the trigger and would blow that whistle, right? So it's so crazy to try and predict just how physical you can be on any given game in college basketball.
Well, you know which official was calling that game yesterday?
Who's that?
TV Teddy.
Ted Valentine was on the court yesterday, Connor?
I'm pretty sure he was.
Yesterday, Ted Valentine was on the court, Texas Tech and Buffalo, and it was exactly what you expect.
That game.
Yeah.
Okay, Texas Tech. Okay, I'm like, I thought I would have noticed.
I thought it was in the Duke game, but no, you're right.
The Duke game had its own set of creative officials will say that.
That's very true. Very true. Okay, and I now want to give you the forum before we get you out of here to weigh in on what was the hot topic on Friday's Current Sports, and heck, one of the hottest topics nationally in the world of not just college basketball, but sports, period. You had so many national analysts and, you know, people with different nationally syndicated shows weighing in on the Tom Izzo and Aaron Henry back and forth. You saw my Facebook page. That blew up.
Oh, yeah.
My Twitter blew up. And you couldn't wait to come on this Monday edition of Current Sports and give your two cents into what happened and the total overreaction in the minds of at least us two, how it was blown out of proportion come Friday and, heck, even Thursday evening, right? I know Timbo Gracchus wrote a great piece.
It was a great piece.
Wasn't that a great piece in the I believe it was the Detroit Free Press, about what it's like to play for Tom Izzo. And, again, you play for Tom Izzo. I want to just give you the chance before we get you out of here to talk about that moment, your reaction to it, and moving forward.
Well, I mean, when people ask me what I saw, you know, in that moment, my reaction was I saw him being a coach. I saw him doing what he's been doing the last 24 years. And that's why I put what I put on Twitter. It's like people saw that and reacted. It's like he's been doing that for 24 years, and people act like that's the first time he's ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
And my initial response was, like, are you serious? Like, and I know people, like, watching this and listening to this may say, well, Anthony Iani was a walk-on. He didn't play much. He didn't get yelled at. The heck I did.
Everybody gets yelled at if you play for Tom Izzo.
I can't even tell you how many times that man chewed me out in practice if I wasn't doing my job as a captain of the scout team, or if I wasn't providing enough energy on the bench during games. Like, he would get on me at halftimes. And so when I saw him getting after Aaron Henry, I'm like, that's Coach Iz. That's his style. And then when I see people like Skip Bayless who are saying, oh, Michigan State should be ashamed about this, I'm like, well, first of all, that old man hasn't played one lick of varsity basketball in his life. He averaged like 4 points JV or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at that and go, okay, analysts like that who don't know Tom Izzo, who don't know our program, who've never been step foot in that building, they should have no room to talk. And then I saw like FoxNews.com put something up. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
it really blew up, didn't it?
Oh, it did. And you know what, Al? Like, it's like Stephen A. said, it was stupid the way it blew up. It shouldn't even blown up. And then Chris Beard on Friday has the same one-on-one interaction with a player that didn't blow up.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't blow up at all.
Right. I think I saw Rick Barnes of Tennessee.
Yeah,
He pushes his player.
He physically pushes a player. And I'm like, okay, well, that happens. That didn't blow up. But for whatever reason, it's the Michigan State connection. It's the Michigan State connection. That's why. But I've told people that I was just so upset. I was upset with it because, one, it's like our society has gotten so soft. It has become so soft now because people see that and it's like, oh, he shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be yelling at him. Oh, okay, then what do you want him to do? Cuddle him? Say everything? Sing Kumbaya? Everything's all right? Like, that's not how it works, especially when you go to a program like Michigan State. And Aaron Henry couldn't have handled it any better than any basketball player could have. Anywhere else, yeah, I think any other player from somewhere around the country, it would have been interesting to see how they would have handled it. But the way he handled it was basically professionalism at its best for a 19-year-old kid. And he, like he said, he knew what he signed up for. Every player that comes through here knows what they sign up for. Coach Izzo, he's going to give you his best. And he's going to do it in a way that not a lot of other people will. And, you know, it just irritates me, Al, because it just frustrates me to see that's what our society has become.
I agree.
You know,
I say that every day almost.
And I heard your show like on Friday.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? He's 100% right. You know, if we're not teaching our kids tough love, if we're not showing them tough love, what the heck are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing? And like, you know, I've been a varsity coach for 3 years. And the guy I coach with, yeah, he shows our girls tough love. But you know what? Every high school coach is like that. Every high school sports coach is like that. And every college coach is like that. Not all of them, but some are. And that's what a lot of kids and athletes want. They want tough love because it's that old saying. If a coach is talking to you or yelling at you, it means he cares. If he's not talking to you, if he's not giving you tough love, showing you tough love, then you should be worried.
Then you should be worried.
Then you should be worried.
I'm with you, man.
I'm just glad it's over now.
I'm glad it's over, too. We can turn the page.
Now. Yeah.
Right.
And just move on to the Sweet 16, and hopefully our guys can do something incredible and something that hasn't been done in 4 years.
Let's hope so.
Get to the Final Four.
Anthony, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you,
very
Al.
Well said, all right?
Appreciate it, man.
This is our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports with weekend winners for you. That and more. Don't touch that dial. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports as we come up now on the home stretch of the show. 2 o'clock is looming. And, you know, I wanted to play a bit of the Izzo press conference, but, you know, that chant with Anthony Iani went so well that we kind of went over. And as I always do, each and every Monday and occasionally Tuesday, when Izzo decides to have his presser on Tuesday instead of Monday, I post the Izzo weekly press conference on our website at WKAR.org. I don't think Izzo, you know, listening to him, he didn't say anything that was earth-shattering. You know, he just basically recapped the Minnesota game and praised his team for their resiliency, talked about the rest that they need, talked about the draw against LSU, and talked about how LSU rebounds the ball very, very well, and talked about how MSU can't turn the ball over 22 times like they did against Minnesota, right? So nothing earth-shattering, but, you know, and he gives you some insight into to what he told his players after that win over Minnie and what it feels like to get out of the first weekend for the first time since 2015. So that will be available at around 3 p.m. at WKAR.org. Weekend winners, though, with 1 minute left. You got anybody that you want to shout out real quick, Connor?
The one random dude who has a perfect bracket in NCAA.com's pool. He is he's the furthest winner ever.
Wow.
He has everything right through the Sweet 16. He has Gonzaga winning the championship game over Kentucky, so we'll see.
It won't last.
It won't. There's no way.
There's never a perfect bracket, but that's still very, very impressive.
No way. It's impressive. He got all of them.
Oh, man, that's amazing stuff. And I just want to shout out Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team. I know right now, you know, it's so – I don't know why they had the scheduling like this. You got the women's tourney going on at the same time as the men, so it totally gets, you know, overshadowed by the men's tournament. But the Spartan women getting that one-point victory over CMU, remarkable. Again, they play Notre Dame tonight at 7 p.m. in the second round on ESPN. And also the PW Pirates girls basketball team, state champs. We'll see you Tuesday. Be easy, people.